A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. Liverpool beats Wolves by 4-0. I'm Paul Machin. That's Chris Pajak. This is the Instant Match Reaction. And so my word, Chris.
Decent amount, no?
Well, we looked ahead to this week, and we said this a couple of times, but like in terms of back-to-back fixtures, this wasn't like us playing, you know, PSG and Man City in a week, but it was the toughest back-to-back fixture spell we had in this part of the season, absolutely certainly. Ajax, really good, bold, young, pacey attacking side, and then Wolves, who we know can cause us so many problems as well, and cause many teams problems in this Premier League. Good team. Kevin Kelleher, 22-year-old goalie, making his Champions League debut, followed by his Premier League debut. That performance is as good as anything I've seen this season. Everyone would have been looking at us, and we talked about it pre-match. Everyone else won. Over to you, Liverpool. Well, everyone would have been watching. Tottenham Hotspur will have been watching. Chelsea, Leicester going, ooh, this might be the one where we start to, you know, Liverpool just start to show a bit of weakness. Nah, not at all.
No, they'll have been watching that going, just like me, the real Liverpool are back. Because that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like we were seeing tonight. And massive credit again to Klopp. I think, you know, two big decisions this week, both involving Kevin Kelleher. Mm-hmm. The fact that they put him in there in the first place and the reasoning behind it, absolutely solid, absolutely sound, vindicated, and vindicated the game with a performance tonight from Kevin. He was just sensational, Paul. And he only made 3 saves, I think, on the day. But, you know, that first one is world-class, absolutely world-class. His distribution, the times he was coming to get the ball, whether it's a low cross, whether it's a high cross, it didn't matter. Probably one of his best for me was when he didn't get in Matip's way. Mm-hmm. He backed out and let Matip play him the ball. Really good goalkeeping, mature, and technically really gifted as well. And absolutely, I'm running out of superlatives already after 2 games because he doesn't look like a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. He looks like a goalkeeper who's ready to step up if needed.
Yeah, no, he was. He's a very safe and steady pair of hands, and it's a very underrated quality, I think, particularly in an understudy for a goalkeeper. You tend to go from extremes, like you're giving something up. Like, we haven't done this. I couldn't even tell you the last time we did this, and I pay more attention than most to Liverpool's goalkeeping situation, but you don't see young goalkeepers come in and giving opportunities. And someone might be able to correct me this, but I think back to like Chris Kirkland and Scott Carson and what have you coming in, and I don't think either of them looked as confident. They certainly weren't as good a footballer as Keller is and what he's coming in. And it's very, very early in his Liverpool career. And look, you know, the ideal solution, world scenario, is that Alisson Becker comes in and, you know, the best goalkeeper in the world gets fit and carries on playing games for us. But we might have one there. We haven't produced a goalkeeper ever. Liverpool haven't produced a goalkeeper. It's, you know, that I don't know.
Galacci maybe is the closest, but not at Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. We're very good at producing goalkeepers for other clubs. You know, you go on and have, you know, or we bring people in who aren't good enough for Liverpool, but they're good enough to have top level careers. But we haven't made a goalkeeper for ourselves. You know, I don't know whether Tommy Lawrence was a. I don't know enough about him because well before my time, of course. But like you think about all the good goalies that we've had. You know, we've brought in. Sometimes we brought in young. David James was young when we brought him in, but he's from Watford, you know, that kind of thing. To have someone come through. And it's early doors. We might never need him again from next week. You know, Becker might come back in and just play the rest of the season. Sound.
Do any top clubs? I mean, Neuer did buy in, didn't he? They brought him through.
Exactly. I can't think of a load of any, really. Like, De Gea's, brought him in. But
was
yeah.
He was Porto, was he, maybe?
No, Casillas was Real Madrid. So he's one of the exceptions to the rule. Like he was still getting the bus to training when he was playing alongside Zidane because he wasn't old enough to drive. But there's not many. There's not many. I'm sure people, please feel free to let
someone
us know.
Someone's saying no, it was Schalke, so there you go.
Yeah, not many. Not many at all, because it's very, 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 very difficult. No, all the credit in the world to him. To be fair, the whole team performance, Chris, was great. And we did get a massive slice of luck with the Conor Coady thing, but I think particularly it was just perfect because that first goal was going to be telling. And Klopp actually said in his post-match, he said to the lads in our pre-match meeting, I don't know what this is going to be like with fans in. He said, if it's good, use it. If it's not, ignore it. Because they had no clue. But we get the goal and there's a release. And obviously we didn't really get the crowd noise at all because we're obviously doing the commentary and whatever. But we've had some clips come through from Si, that video going out on the YouTube channel on Monday, by the way. And you see it and you see the noise being generated. You hear it. And this club thrives on that. Like, it's a club built for that. The club and the fan and the team go hand in hand at this point. And it must have been like getting a part of your body back or your soul back or something for them players. And they looked at, it's amazing that we've done it without fans. And we've now gone and done this with just 2,000 fans in. Can you imagine what it's like when it's 54,000?
It's going to be incredible again, isn't it? But I kind of think, listen, I know you don't watch it, but I kind of think of like the F1. You know, like the engine works, but it's a hybrid era. You know what I mean? Like you've got the petrol engine or whatever it is, and you've got the electrical part, and it all adds in, and you get turbo power off the back of it type of thing. And that's what it felt like we saw today from Liverpool, you know, energised from the fans. And, you know, they're playing without fear anyway, and we know that. But it felt to me like we saw something more because they're playing for the fans again. It's not just them playing for everything else. They know the fans are a big part in getting that team here. And, you know, they've put so much work in as well themselves over the last few years and stuff, and they deserve everything that they get for that work. Yeah. But the fans, as you say, in Liverpool, they just go hand in hand, man. And you know, I can't wait to sit down and watch this properly, watch it and listen to it. And because all I've seen all night is coming back in, the comments, oh, it's brilliant, they're making more noise than the Etihad, and there's only like 2,000 of them and all that. You're going to get all that, but it's going to be built on something. It's going to be built on the truth as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, it's not... The Anfield atmosphere is not a myth. People have tried to sell it for years, and it was something that Liverpool used as a marketing tool for years, and it was over-egging the pudding a little bit for a number of years because, let's be honest, you know, the conversation was the atmosphere had been getting worse season on season for the entire time that I've been going from when I was a kid. It was crap. It was very, very, very crap. And now it's not. It's amazing. And Liverpool and Anfield, even on average games, is a better atmosphere than most games I've been to in the years that preceded Jürgen Klopp.
Yeah, no, that's in. Absolutely fair.
Even your games against teams that you're not meant to. Like, we used to sit
down. The lunchtime, Brighton's and all that, they're 10 times better than what they were 10 years ago.
And now what you've got is, and again, it goes back to the culture of it, and there'll be some people who made up with it, and it's vindication, you know, to borrow away from yourself, for a lot of the locals being able to come in and it being, you know, people from the L postcode and all that coming in and having a sense of pride on the line. You're there, and again, because we're the last team of the weekend, bunch of things like the taking of these stuff, making sure that gets a proper round of applause and all that stuff, because that kind of stuff needs supporting. And then going and screaming and shouting and supporting your team, like Jürgen Klopp's talking about the main stand, like the main stand, like they're all spread out in the main stand and they're making all this noise and they're getting stuck in because it didn't matter. All of a sudden, it's not like you're just in the game, you're just privileged and made up to be in there. And I think from what I've seen and heard back so far, again, we got a comment. I don't know whether this was from your show or not, from Si Benstead, who's saying 10 out of 10 to those 2,000 supporters you've given, who have given and will continue, hopefully, to give the players that extra impetus going into the Christmas period. I feel a bit like, and just it's not a perfect analogy, but to take your racing analogy, it's a bit like Le Mans, where we've had to, except we're racing Le Mans style, and everyone else has been racing like Formula One style, where they're on the grid, in the car, ready to go, and we've been hobbled, and we're like limping towards our car with a broken ankle and a one hand tied behind our back, and now we're in there, and we've got everything kind of starting to come together for us, and we're in the race, except that we're at the front of the pack, and we've been on foot. Well, some of these teams have been flat out.
To carry on the racing stuff, you know, you're in the lead, but you're blocking. You're not thinking about going forwards and putting a gap in. You're taking your time and you're trying to just make sure that no one gets past you, elbows out and all that type of stuff. That's what Liverpool have been doing. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like we're starting to get some players back. I mean, that introduction of Trent today, you know, he comes on with 22 minutes to play.
That's a bit joke for anyone who listened to the watch.
But, like, that ball, that's what we've missed. And it's those types of little things, isn't it? Because he knows instantly, before the ball gets to him, what he is going to do.
I described it in the fan reactions as like when you get your cast taken off and you've been living a life without the full use of your right hand, for example. So you've worked the way to where, and you can get by and you're fine. You're not really, you get used to not having access to it. But when you get it back, it's like, oh, I can just open this door with this hand while I'm holding the coffee with this hand.
For me, I used to swim loads when I was younger. So they used to make us train in T-shirts. And you'd be swimming in a fucking T-shirt. Oh, it's so difficult. You take the T-shirt off and all of a sudden you fly. Like, look how fast I can go! And that's what Liverpool are like when we get all our players back.
It was a moment, and it was the goal whether it's Sadio Mane or it's given otherwise. But
Semedo, I think he gave it to
the Trent ball for it. I think it's Curtis in the midfield, and you could play the ball directly to Mane because he's clearly in space. But he looks and he goes, oh yeah, Trent.
I
pass it to Trent, and he plays, and there was no doubt in my mind the second it goes to Trent Alexander-Arnold. Did it a goal? Because he just brings that, and we've gotten by without that. I mean, it's just stupid. It's stupid how good we are. We shouldn't be this good. We shouldn't have survived this, what we've been through. And that's not to say it won't come back again, because that will be a thing. More players will go down, and hopefully we'll get some more back in. Hopefully we can just keep the machine ticking over. But my overriding feeling, it's a feeling of intense positivity at the moment. We've got fans back in the ground. If an average future unfolds over the coming months, it feels like we're past the worst of it. I don't know, but it feels that way to me at the moment.
That's a big change in 5 days.
100%. And again, it's because...
But you can see why. I can see why.
Yeah, exactly, because... You could lose more players. I mean, we're getting to that point now where it's like, how many players do you have to take out of Liverpool before they become shit? And I don't know the answer to that question. Because we've taken out, I mean, there were 7 first teamers missing still, and 2 more would just come back from injury, and Trent and Naby, who we got to see on the pitch at the end there. Like, Ox is on his way back. Thiago's going to be next year, but eventually, hopefully, we'll see a little bit of him. And obviously the Virgil thing's long term, and Gomez as well. But Alisson will be back at some point as well.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I, And now we've got fans back in the ground. I think if you were looking for an opportunity, seasons come along where you get to capitalise on an opportunity where there's a lot of flux or a lot of random shit dropped into the league. So, like, Leicester take advantage of a bunch of just, like, transitioning top teams around that point. So Man City aren't up and running with Pep Guardiola at that point. 13, 14, Liverpool capitalise on again. Mourinho's not got his proper team in there at Chelsea at that point. City are there and they're established by that point, but no one else is at the races. They've probably got European footy. All these factors. I think a bunch of teams would have been looking and going, this might be our chance here. And Liverpool have been, again, literally hobbled in their endeavours to try and get to the top of the league. And yet here we are. If we are able to get a couple more players back and get a little bit of, finally, bit of a look, which we haven't had all season with injuries and fans into the equation. Like, if you wanted to break Liverpool's home unbeaten record,
your best chance is gone.
You've just had the back end of last season and there was no one in there to support them. Fuck me.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
I'll tell you what, though, it makes 10 days' time against Tottenham Hotspur a tasty little fixture now, doesn't it? 100%. That adds a little bit of something else, because the positivity coming out of tonight and out of this week, Liverpool are on the up right now, and they'll be taking their own positivity into that game as well.
Absolutely. We had Chris Vella with another super chat saying, hearing Anfield again was just absolutely brilliant. I've just skipped past it. It was the best part for me, even if we won by 20. Yeah. And Tim George, another £5 super chat. Imperious from start to finish. What a time for a big win. Oozing with confidence heading into the busy Christmas period, now up the mighty Reds. The one last player I want to talk about on this show, because we're going to do every player on the Final Word show, by the way, tomorrow, because they all deserve a bit of a chat. But the Nico Williams thing, what a week, I think, for him. You know, in 10 days, he's gone from, like, people just being like, oh, he's shit, and he's not good enough to play for Liverpool. He's just gone and put another performance there. I actually think he probably, all over, I think he was probably slightly better when he gets the assist against Ajax, so you can add that to the equation. He only plays the 68 minutes or whatever in this one for when Trent comes finally into the game.
Let me just check my notes.
But
68 minutes.
But he picks up a booking on 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's a little part of me going, ah, shit. He didn't play like that. There was no sign. I didn't see any other... there was no stand-up mode to me when I was worried about him from then on in. Really good, solid performance.
Yeah, and a mature performance from him as well. I mentioned the early booking on the player ratings because I think it's pertinent, Paul. I think, you know, that's massive for a young player going up against an established pro like Neto and stuff like that. And, you know, he never gets himself in bother then. His positioning's really good. He has to throw himself into some late challenges to block crosses and stuff. But, you know, that happens to every fullback in the world. Robertson on the other side was in exactly the same boat, and he was man of the match, and yet he was still throwing himself into challenges and stuff. And, you know, he does well when Adama Traore goes over to that side. I think the midfield deserve loads of credit for both helping out both fullbacks tonight. And I mentioned this actually, Paul, slightly off topic, but, you know, we can come back on to Nico. I thought Adama Traore was played on the right hand side to stop Andy Robertson going forwards, and when that didn't work, they moved him to the left-hand side to have a go with the kid.
Well, it's interesting because Klopp said post-match they've moved Adama over there because they're clearly looking to get Nico sent off, was his reading of the situation. And, you know, we'll never know what the thinking was behind it. But it did feel a little bit like, he was getting no change down there. I wonder whether there's just a little thing psychologically with Nico. You're going up against Neto and you're like, well, he's another kid. So you're a kid, he's a kid. When you battle against the kids, you're not fearing going up against another lad who's, you know, yeah, he's had a few more Premier League games than you, but he's on the development. He's on the development cycle the same way. But then Adama Traore moves over, and there's a lad who's just bigger and stronger and faster than you. And he's got that great little move where he does a little flick and he's past you. Brilliant. Great fun to watch.
Well played.
Yeah, brilliant.
Didn't do fuck all with it, though, did you?
Well, did not. But there will have been a little moment there with Nico again on a booking, and there's this lad who's miles faster than you, just thinking, ah, right. Well, and it's a sensible move. I'd have been doing that all day long. Knock it past Nico, chase and let him just clip you. There you go. This is game over. Red card, done, sad. And we put down to 10 men and we're in the ascendancy there. Wolves thinking. Didn't get a sniff. didn't get a single sniff out of him. And that's what we need, contributed by everyone.
Yeah, what we need from Nico is to just go in there and be solid. And he went in there and he was solid again. Mm-hmm. You know, we said it before the game, didn't we? That's exactly what we were saying. He just needs to go in and be a right back. Doesn't need to get assists. He'll be judged on his defensive performance. And he made that performance harder for himself by picking up the yellow and yet clawed it back by not taking another booking.
We've got, if, look, there's a chance where we're going to have ongoing injury problems for the rest of the season because it's just the state of play at the moment. But what we've got now, in what and we would never normally, Curtis Jones, we talked about him pre-season. I think he'd have been involved in the squad. I don't think he'd have played as much football as he has done because Naby Keita needs games and Thiago needs games and all these things. Exactly. He sees this opportunity and he now plays for me. He's good enough to play in any game of football for us, and he's proved that. We can choose to bring him out as and when we want to bring him out. Nico Williams, I think, has gotten to a point where maybe he's not quite there, because you can see the difference. Trent is just fucking, Trent's the best right back in world footy. I saw people, Chelsea fans, going on about Reece James, and some of these going, name you, he must be the best right back. He's not. He's just not. Trent's the best right back in the country, in the world. And Cueven Kelleher on top of this, though. Because of this, we've had to dig deep in the squad and we've unearthed these lads who probably weren't ready, and you would never have chosen any of them to be thrust up into this, with the exception maybe of Curtis. And now we're in a position where if Alisson goes out again, shrug, Keller can come in and play another game of football for us. If Trent has to be rotated, we don't want him injured because that's a big drop. But if we have to rotate him here and there, I've got no problem with Nico Williams dropping in. And again, Curtis Jones is above and beyond all of them at this point. Talk about turning a negative situation into a positive. Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There are always positives that come out of every situation. And for me, a massive one, as you've kind of already alluded to and agree with, Kurt Jones getting more minutes. Mm-hmm. I said this on the player ratings poll. In 2-3 years' time, we'll be looking back at this going, that's the reason why he is the player that he is today. He'll step up, he'll keep improving. Nico Williams, it could be a sliding doors moment for him. You know, and whether he ever makes it at Liverpool, I don't know, because Trent's there for the long term. Mm-hmm. You know, and is he going to be a right back at Liverpool Football Club? Is he going to be a first choice right back right now? Probably not, no. But if he's happy to back him up and he's good enough to back him up, which it looks like now he's turned that corner and he's good enough, then he can stay if he wants. Yeah. Or he'll go and have a good Premier League career.
It's just, well, we've just had to spend £13 million on Kostas Tsimikas to get cover for Andy Robertson. And that's all he's going to be. And he might do a year or two. And look at the Shaqiri situation or the Origi situation. You get these lads and they know they're never going to establish themselves. So they maybe they gather a couple of trophies, maybe they have a good time, play the odd game, and then they go, actually, I'm going to go off and because I can go from back up at Liverpool to being first choice at a lot of Champions League sides. That's all you're looking for from Nico, and if all he does is save us 15 million to 20 million quid.
He could be a backup at Liverpool for 5, 6, 7 years, right? And he'll look back on his career, and yet he might have won games for other teams and been in the Premier League and all that type of stuff. But ultimately, he's backing up the best right back in world football, and will have done for, you know, hopefully a long time at his boyhood club. And he could have won Premier League medals because of it. You know, if we win it this year, he'll get a medal again. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll have been a big part of it at times during the season and stuff like that. For me, if that was me in his situation, oh my God, I'd be just absolutely buzzing with life. With life.
He's 19 years old.
Yeah, he's got loads of time.
And he's going to play double figures games for this season.
He could become as good as Trent as well.
Yeah. And look at the game, we all talk about this, and again, we're getting lost down the rabbit hole on it, but like, who's to say Trent doesn't do another couple of years and go, am I going to play Real Madrid for a few years just because why not? It happens. You know what I mean? You go and do something else. He's won everything at Liverpool.
He's our next captain, but...
Yeah, I know, but you know what I mean. Is that, you know, it happens, doesn't it? You know, people, you've won everything at your boyhood club. Go and do a couple of years away, and then come back and finish your career off at Liverpool. Fine, and Nico might just be ready to step up. But again,
Zidane will be on his sixth stint as manager then.
Absolutely. But the point is, who's asked? Is that we've now got a world where this is it. The world has landed some massive digs on us this season, more than I think we thought we'd be prepared for, and so far, you know, against the odds, Liverpool shouldn't be this good.
No, I was watching the boxing last night, Paul, and Arthur, a Mank, was boxing, and he didn't say it after the thing, but he clearly looked like his right hand was hurt, and he basically won a 12-rounder on points with the left jab. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he managed to win a belt and defend his own belt on the way there. And that's what Liverpool feel like over the last few weeks for me. We've just had the fucking jab and we've been keeping everyone at bay. But now we're getting our right hand back, and Trent's our right hand, and the other lads are our right hand, and the haymakers are coming, mate. This is the time when Liverpool, I believe, over the next 2 months are going to make a big gap at the top of the league.
I completely agree with that. The Spurs game is going to be important to that, I think, psychologically, for what tells the rest of the league. And Mourinho's going to be desperate to shit out his way past that game. But I agree. I keep underestimating how good this side is and the mentality in the squad and what it all means, because I think we're all still lost in this notion of you've got to have 11 boss players on the pitch at all times. And I think there is a tipping point. I think we saw it with Atalanta, where if you do pull a few too many out, you can end up in tricky situations. Yeah. But this side is so good. So good. We're so much better. Because again, this is not... I think people have tried to have this conversation, like Liverpool of, you know, like the age of the players. Liverpool are in their prime. Liverpool's best players have still got, like, again...
That's anxiety.
Yeah.
They're all 28.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck sakes. Exactly. Like, they've got two... Our best players have got 2 years still banging the comfortable prime. Yeah. And the best players... Look, okay, Messi and Ronaldo are playing into their mid-30s, still absolutely fantastic.
And we're still not sure... Sorry to interrupt. We're still not sure when the prime ends, are we? Because sports science is so much better. We're basing that on, you hit the prime at 27 until 30, when we were, like, fucking 12. Mm-hmm. That's what happened, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Matt Hayes, who's a Tottenham fan by the looks of it, saying next Wednesday will say a lot, and I'm confident. And I imagine Tottenham fans will be confident.
Let me talk to Matt, because I went on his show the other day, and he said that Tottenham Hotspur have the best squad in the league. And I disagree, Matt, but really appreciate the super chat. And as you said on Twitter, mate, we will find out at the end of the season.
Yeah,
we really will.
I mean, fucking hell, it's Tottenham Hotspur. Like, it'd be the fucking the line. Now, Harry Kane is we talk about players who've benefited from lockdown. Harry Kane has benefited as much as Andy Robertson and Mo Salah have. There's a lad who just needed to not be getting kicked lumps out of and having to go flat out for a few weeks, just let his body heal up, and he's benefiting from it. Absolutely, that's going to be a hell of a game, an absolute hell of a game. But I fear that Mourinho will get a draw out of that game. Not that I fear Tottenham will come and, you know, will be outdone or outworked or whatever by Tottenham, but that could be the game, Mad, that mid-December could be the game that decides the title, even though there'll probably only be 3 points between us by the end of the game. We'll have to see. But I'm glad. I like Tottenham. I like a confident Tottenham. I do indeed. They deserve it. They're the best team in North London, which is an important thing. By a mile, by the way, Arsenal are fucking shit.
15th.
There's guys writing rap songs about how crap they are and how
we should probably write a rap song about how crap Arsenal are.
I could honestly, mate, it would bang.
Bars.
But nah, I'll be all right. We'll do it like some acoustic freestyle.
Can I get me recorder out?
Yeah, 100%. Right, listen, we're going to be back tomorrow. If you are a Redmen member here on YouTube, a club captain.
Sorry, David Kelly. My friend's an Arsenal fan and he's worried they might be relegated.
They won't get relegated, but they are shit. Like,
would they leave North London this time?
It's not. YouTube members at club captain or club legend level get the final word. One bonus show for you guys here on YouTube. That's the quickest way to support the channel and, of course, get access to extra content. But if you want more than that, go to theredmentv.com, sign up, get the full package, the full streaming service, documentaries, interviews. Oh, yeah. More and Paycheck News at the end of the season when we win the league as well, all exclusively on theredmentv.com.
Exclusively?
Yeah.
I've got my OnlyFans to think about.
Absolutely.
You can also giving you exclusivity, Paul.
If you are a subscriber to Club Legend level on the website, theredmentv.com, you get a chance to win this signed Jordan Henderson Champions t-shirt as well, signed by the man when we revealed our mural to him. That is part of our wonderful prize pot. You can choose a Redmen Christmas jumper. We just didn't
If you want, I will lick it.
If that does it for you, then sign up. If not, then don't think of it as part of the things. No COVID kiss.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, do sign up to theredmentv.com. Support what we do, but also get loads of amazing content and a chance to win boss prizes as well. We'll put the link in the comments and in the description for you as well. But yes, we will be back tomorrow. Final word. Cannot wait. See you there. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.